I'd invite your attention to 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. And I will venture with some trepidation into a New Testament text, but it's a pretty simple text, so I think I can handle it. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. 1 Peter 4, 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is a great text by the Apostle Peter, and he is addressing those who are sojourning in the diaspora. These are people who are living under great hardship and great persecution. They've been driven from their homes, from their jobs, from the solidarity of everyday life. Because of their faith, they are suffering greatly. And Peter does encourage them to look to the future. Verse 7 that we read, but the end of all things is at hand. And he continually and consistently throughout his book encourages them to look to that day when all of their trials and their problems will be behind them. But he doesn't gloss over their present distress. In fact, he spends a great deal of time exhorting them on how to live in a hard, in an antagonistic, in an alien world. I would suggest to you this morning that if Peter's world, the world in Peter's day, was permeated with sin and hardship, I would suggest to you that our world is permeated with the same. And probably there is a day coming when we will face the kinds of, or believers will face the kind of distresses that the believers were facing in Peter's day. Yeah, Luke 18, verse 8, we won't turn there. Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? And I think the answer that he expected was not very likely, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And how many were there remaining in the days of Noah? Well, at best eight, perhaps one. And we are facing hard times, and we are moving into harder times. But Peter suggests that the manifold hardships of this wicked world can never exhaust the grace of God. In fact, he uses a term here that rather surprises me for an uncultured fisherman as Peter. He says in verse 10, as everyone has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace, the variegated grace, the multicolored grace of God. And the manifold hardships of this world can never exhaust the variegated, the multifaceted, multicolored grace of our God. The grace of God meets the grossest darkness with the most brilliant of light. The grace of God meets the most hardened bitterness with the perfect peace of God. It meets the greatest fear with the boldest undertakings. God's grace meets the most binding habits and transfers them into conquered foes. It meets the deepest sorrows and translates them into unspeakable joy. Psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists, social workers, medical professionals try to meet these kinds of needs in humanity, but only God's word, only God's spirit, only God's grace can meet the deepest needs of man. And Peter tells us that we have a phenomenal ministry. Though we live in difficult days, and the days will get darker and the days will get harder, you men and women have a marvelous ministry. And that is, you are stewards, he says, of this multifaceted grace of God. What an amazing ministry God has given us. If you are to be a steward of God's grace, Peter says very clearly in his proposition, you are to be good stewards. Verse 10, as each has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. How can you be a good steward of this manifold grace of God? Well, I think Peter encourages us in verse 11 to zealously guard three key facets of this marvelous stewardship that God has given us. First of all, he tells us that we must guard our manner of speech. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let me talk about first what Peter is not referring to here. Peter is not referring, I don't believe, to our ministry of speaking the word of God. As ministers of God's grace, we will speak. And speaking, as we know from the Apostle James, is a very dangerous and a highly responsible task. We are to speak the word of God, and that's a given. I think for Peter, that's a given. We know that Paul tells Timothy to preach the word. Peter, in this very passage, in the next few verses, is going to encourage the elders to feed the flock. They feed the flock with the word of God. So we do minister the word of God. And I would suggest to you that the Word of God is falling on hard times these days. I would suggest to you that's true even in the world of evangelicalism, those who profess a deep faith in God and some kind of adherence to the Word of God. I'm going to illustrate my point by giving you some names, and the radio studio can do with that what they wish. But we have, these men have written books and have spoken publicly. And I don't think they're embarrassed by what they say, though I have some grave concerns about them. Men like John Salehammer, who in his literary method essentially eliminates the creation account from Genesis chapter 1. People like Tremper Longman, who on a video series readily available on the internet, casts deep doubt on the existence of a single man by the name of Adam, who was directly created by God and was the father of us all. We have authors like Brent Sandy, who have cast grave doubt on the forward look of the prophet and his speaking specifically and predictively about the future. We have people like Peter Enns who cast doubt on the fidelity and the accuracy of even the histories of the Old Testament scriptures. Let me move from naming names to making application. And by my application, I don't mean to impugn these men specifically. And many other names, of course, could be named. You read these books, and you're confronted with these kinds of issues. God is the judge of these men. God is the judge of me and my ministry. And I don't presume to cast aspersions on them or to judge them. But by way of application, I would like to say this. The Word of God has fallen on hard times. And there is a kind of scholarship, men and ladies, that leads to mind worship. It's spoken of in the Word of God. And it's a very dangerous thing. There are those in the days of Scripture that the apostles talk about who turn the truth of God into lies, who turn the Word of God into myths. And I think we need to beware. I think we need to preach the word. I think we need to be ministers of the word of God and hold to the truth of the word of God and not allow, as Dr. Clearwaters used to say, not allow ourselves to be educated beyond our intelligence. and even worse, beyond God's intelligence. What a fearful thing. And I think it's something we need to beware of. But that is not what Peter is talking about. So I've preached for 5 minutes about something that's not Peter's concern here. Peter says in verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. I think Peter goes a step beyond being preachers of the word, though I don't think Peter would disavow that. We need to preach the word. But he says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, we need to speak as the oracles of God. The oracles of God here aren't specifically the word of God so much as they are the words of God. The oracles are the messages. Think, for example, of Old Testament prophets, messages that originate from God, the inspired utterances that these men of God are speaking. When you think of an Old Testament seer or of an Old Testament prophet, you think of someone who spoke to others only that which God spoke to them. They spoke to others only that which God spoke to them. And here's where I think Peter is going a step beyond us being preachers of the word. We need to preach and teach the word of God. We need to hold fast to the truth of God's word. But Peter is suggesting that we need to speak as though God has spoken to us. Think about that for a moment. We need to speak as though God has spoken to us. It's one thing to speak God's word. It's another thing to let the word of God speak to you. I think that exegetes fail and fall, and it's possible for all of us. And all of us know men, perhaps women, to whom this has happened. Exegetes who fail and fall because they're so busy dissecting the word of God that they never allow the word of God to dissect them. It's an amazing thing. And it's something we need to be very careful of. Peter says we are ministers, we are stewards of the multifaceted grace of God, and we need to speak as though God has spoken to us. And I trust as we study the Word of God to speak it to others, we allow the Word of God first to speak to us, to change us, so that we are speaking as we speak. We speak as though God has spoken first to us, then we can speak as God is speaking through us. That's what Peter is saying. And if we are going to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, we need first of all to guard very carefully our manner of speech. Speaking as though God has spoken to us, and then speaking as though God is speaking through us. But Peter goes a step further. Not only must we zealously guard our manner of speaking, we must zealously guard our means of strength. Our means of strength. If anyone speaks, verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Again, let me begin negatively. Peter, of course, is saying, in a positive way, that we do not minister this manifold grace of God in our own ability. We have a room full of men and women here this morning, I believe, who are full of natural talents. You have keen minds, you have organizational abilities, you have leadership qualities. You say, well, are you speaking to all of us? I'm not going to mention names in this part of my service, sermon. But you are in seminary. You're working on master's degrees. You have natural abilities. You have keen intellects. You have organizational abilities and leadership qualities, or you wouldn't be here. The problem is that we are quick to evaluate our own strengths. In fact, we are quick to over-evaluate our own strengths. Paul was quick to recognize his weaknesses. 1 Corinthians 10:22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than him? 2 Corinthians 10:10, my bodily presence is weak. 2 Corinthians 11:29, am I not weak? I will glory in my weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9, God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. And I would suggest to you, men and women, as I think Peter is suggesting to us, that if God's weakness is greater than my strength, what profit is there in serving by the arm of the flesh? Peter says if we're going to minister the variegated grace of God and be good stewards of that ministry, we are going to have to serve as with the ability which God supplies. We need to serve in his strength. Paul said to the Philippians, of course, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Dr. Clearwater spoke often of itinerant preachers because he grew up listening to them. He lived in a small farming community in Kansas and then in, I believe, in Oklahoma. And there was a church building in the little town nearby, but there was no pastor. Often, and itinerant preachers would come through and either preach in the church or set up a brush arbor out in the field somewhere and preach to the flock, the people who would come to hear him. In fact, Dr. Clearwater was saved under the ministry of an itinerant preacher. And we might ask, as he would ask, why did God use these untrained itinerant preachers so mightily? And the answer always was because they realized their inadequacies. And I think to some extent that is true. There is a danger, men and ladies, in extensive training. The danger is not too much knowledge, but it's too much self-sufficiency. It's too much pride. God does not put a premium on ignorance. And of course, I'm not suggesting that. I teach in a seminary. And I am delighted to do so. I can't believe they pay me to do what I do. Although that's not suggesting anything, Dr. Potter. God does not put a premium on ignorance, but he does put a premium on humility. And we need to remember that. If we could only keep the trepidation with which we first approach our ministry and minister for all of our lives with that trepidation, I think we would have gained something. I remember very clearly one of the first times I attempted to ride a motorcycle. And this wasn't a small, you know, 100cc dirt bike. This was a huge Harley Davidson. And the guy who owned it put up the kickstand. I got astride the bike and immediately toppled over with the bike laying on top of me. Eventually, I did get it going, and I rode it for a while, but I told the guy when I got off that I was scared to death. And here's what he said, and it stuck with me. The day you are no longer afraid to ride a motorcycle is the day you will probably die on one. And, you know, I thought that was pretty good advice from somebody who had ridden a motorcycle for an awful long time. But we apply that to ministry, and I think it's a good application. The day you begin to believe that you can minister the grace of God on your own, by yourself, the day you begin to minister in the place that God has put you, and you do so on your own strength, is the day that the danger multiplies exponentially. Peter says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Zealously guard your manner of speaking. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Zealously guard your means of strength. But finally, Peter says, you must zealously guard your motive for service. He says, in order that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Too many men, perhaps too many women, have made ministry, the ministry of the variegated grace of God, self-serving. Peter talks about those kind of men in this book, in 2 Peter chapter 2. We don't have time to read those kinds of texts, but I would suggest to you, like the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said they have their reward. Those who minister to elevate themselves, to put themselves forward in order to build a ministry and a monument to themselves, have their reward. And the reward may be great in this life, but Peter says the end of all things is at hand. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. As you have received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, in order that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. We lift up Jesus Christ. We do not lift up ourselves. And as we lift up Jesus Christ in this ministry of the variegated grace of God, as we lift up Jesus Christ, God is glorified. And we need to be zealous to guard our motive for service. So Peter says, you and I have a phenomenal ministry in a very difficult world. We have the ministry of the variegated, the multicolored, the many-faceted grace of God. And what an amazing grace it is. Peter says, men and women, be good stewards. Speak as though God has spoken to you. And then speak as God is speaking through you. Minister as though wholly incapable in and of yourself, relying wholly on the strength that God supplies. And serve exalting Christ. Exalting Christ, he says, in all things, in everything, so that glory might go to our great God and Savior, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this admonition from a rough fisherman who came to faith in the Messiah Christ and was transformed from a life of darkness to a life of light, from a life of fear to a life of power, from a life of hardship to a life of glory, though still hard. Father, he reveled in the gift that was given to him of the manifold grace of God. And Father, might we revel in that gift as well. And why might we be good? Might we be faithful in the stewardship of this grace? You have handed this grace to us as a stewardship. Father, help us to be careful in our manner of speaking. Help us to be careful in the means of strength on which we rely. And help us be careful, Lord, in our motive of service. Help us, our Father, to elevate Christ, so that in all things you might be glorified. And Lord, we will thank you for the power of the Spirit that you give us to accomplish these things. And we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.